కాళీన
పంచత్వం
కృష్ణశో పాలీషు
పాలేషు
సర్వ
గహనం
గభీరం
గభీరం
పారే
అభివిరాజతే
విభూ కాళీన పంచత్వం మితేషు కృష్ణశో
కాళీన పంచత్వం మితేషు కృష్ణశో
in due course of time, after millions and millions of years, panchatvam, when everything illusory is annihilated, iteshu,
all transformations,
krishnasaha, with everything within this cosmic manifestation, lokeshu,
all the
planets, or everything that exists,
paleshu,
maintainers like Lord Brahma, cha,
also
sarvahetusu,
all causative existences,
tamaha,
great darkness,
tada,
then,
asit,
was,
gahanam,
very dense,
gabhiram,
very deep,
yaha,
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who?
Tasya,
this dark
situation,
pare,
over and above,
abhi
virajate,
exists or
shines,
bibhu,
the Supreme.
Translation
by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
In due course
of time, when
all the causative
and effective
manifestations of
the universe,
including
the planets
and their
directors and
maintainers,
are annihilated,
there is
a situation of
dense darkness.
Above
this darkness,
however,
is the Supreme
Personality of
Godhead.
I take shelter
of His
lotus feet.
Please
repeat after me.
In
due course of time,
when
all the causative
and effective
manifestations
of the universe,
including
the planets and their
directors and
maintainers,
are
annihilated,
there
is a situation of
dense darkness.
Above
this darkness,
however,
is
the Supreme Personality
of Godhead.
I
take shelter of
His lotus feet.
Purport
by Srila Prabhupada.
From the
Vedic mantras, we
understand
that the
Supreme Personality
of Godhead
is above
everything.
He is supreme
above all
the demigods,
including Lord
Brahma
and Lord Shiva.
He is the
supreme controller.
When
everything
disappears
by the influence
of His energy,
the cosmic
situation is
one of
dense darkness.
The
Supreme Lord,
however, is the sunshine as confirmed in the Vedic mantras, Aditya Varnam Tamasho Parastat. In our daily experience, when we on earth are in the darkness of night, the sun is always luminous somewhere in the sky. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Sun, always remains luminous, even when the entire cosmic manifestation is annihilated in due course of time. Om Abhyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitamascha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I take shelter of His lotus feet. So, Gajendra, the king of the elephants, who in his previous life was a very renowned and pious king called Indradumna, he remembered this prayer just at the time when he was about to die. He, with his associates, the she-elephants and other elephants' associates, went to the bank of the bank of the ocean. He was sporting there, he was enjoying, and then the crocodile that was in the water just grabbed him by his leg, and they began to struggle. The elephant was trying to come onto the land, but the crocodile kept on dragging him into the water. They fought for a long, long time. And Prabhupada mentioned that since the crocodile is a creature of water and the fight was taking place in water, eventually the elephant was losing. And he was taken into the depth of the water. And when the elephant realized that he doesn't really have any strength left to continue with his struggle, the crocodile is winning and he is about to lose his life, he is going to lose the battle and lose his life, he is going to get drowned, then he remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he picked up a lotus flower from the water, from the lake, with his trunk, and he offered that flower to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he started to offer his prayers to the Lord. And this is one of the prayers. The prayers are the realized expressions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The elephant realized that now I don't have any chance left. Elephant is a very powerful animal. Actually, an elephant is more powerful than a crocodile. But unfortunately, the elephant is a creature of the land. And this battle, this fight was going on in the water. And the water is where the crocodile actually belongs to. So there he is more powerful. And so the elephant, after a long struggle, and in spite of being so strong and powerful, he realized that now he's losing. And he doesn't have any more strength left to continue the struggle. So now he has already been dragged into the mid-water. But with whatever little energy he had, he picked that flower and offered that flower to the Lord. And he realized that he is his supreme shelter. And he felt that now, let me take shelter of you. All this while I was depending upon my own strength. All this while I was thinking that I'm capable of doing so many things. I'm so powerful. I'm so capable. But now I realized that I actually do not have any ability whatsoever. At this point in time, I do not actually have any strength. What to speak of defend myself? I don't have any strength to even take a lungful of breath. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani. Jai Shri Shri Radha Langanishwara.
Jai!
And so actually through this incident we learn a very important lesson. In this material nature, we, the living entities, due to our false ego, we think that we are capable of doing so many things. We have so many resources, we are so powerful, we are so influential. And we don't really need anyone's help. We don't even need any help from God. Even though we may accept that He is there, but we don't feel any need to depend upon Him. But then a time comes when we realize that we actually do not have any ability whatsoever. All this while we are thinking that we are so capable, we became so confident of our abilities. But now, at that point in time when a living entity is about to leave his body, he realizes that how incapable he is. At that time, we won't have any strength even to lift our leg. We won't have any strength to lift our hand. We will struggle to just take a breath. We'll be gasping for air. Although air is there, plenty of oxygen all around, but still we do not have the ability to take this air. So in this way, our influence over our material body will cease, and we'll be forced to give up this body and be carried by our subtle body to a next body, a next destination. Actually, at the time of death, we get an opportunity to become free from the bondage of our gross body. The bondage of the gross, we are bound to this material nature with our material bodies. And as long as we have the gross body, we are bound in so many ways. We have to depend on so many things. We are simply bound in the material nature through this gross body. But at the time of death, we become free from this bondage. No more bondage of this gross body. Now we get an opportunity to become free. But unfortunately, we have this subtle body, and that causes all the problem. At the time of death, the gross body dies. We leave the gross body, we become free from the bondage of the gross body, but the subtle body is there. Or if the subtle body is there, the subtle body will carry the spirit soul out of this body into the next destination. And the subtle body doesn't die like the gross body. And all of a sudden, the bondage of this gross body is over. We are free from the bondage of the gross body. But that doesn't happen with the subtle body. The subtle body will continue. The subtle body doesn't die. The subtle body doesn't get destroyed. The subtle body can only be transformed. The subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, and false ego, can only be transformed or spiritualized. The subtle body, the mind, what is the activity of the mind? The mind is the medium through which the consciousness flows. It is through the medium of the mind our consciousness is flowing in this direction. Mind to the senses, mind to the nervous system, to the senses, to the external nature, to the objects of the senses. So it is to the mind, actually, our consciousness is being projected onto this material direction. That's the business of the mind. The medium that makes the consciousness flow. So this is the mind's business, to drag our consciousness towards matter. Now, how can we become free from the influence of the mind? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, with your mind, just think of me. And when we think of Krishna through our mind, then our minds become spiritualized. The mind doesn't, we cannot get rid of the mind as such, but we can transform the mind and spiritualize the mind. From material mind, spiritualization of that faculty. Then intelligence is the next. And Krishna is saying that when one becomes constantly engaged in devotional service, then the intelligence becomes spiritualized. Tesham shatata yuktanam Bhajatan priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upajantite. The Sanskrit synonym for intelligence is, Sanskrit word for intelligence is buddhi. Buddhi. So Krishna is telling what happens to our buddhi, intelligence. When you become engaged constantly, satata yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, Then Krishna says that he gives us the spiritual intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. The buddhi or intelligence becomes buddhi yoga. So that causes the intelligence to become transformed and spiritualized. And now we are left with one, another subtle element, false ego. So when we become situated or engaged in Krishna's service, when you become Krishna's servant, then the false ego is transformed and spiritualized. We become situated in our constitutional position, our real identity. Jiver swarup hai Krishna nitya das. The false ego is the misconception of our identity. So when you become engaged, when you become situated as a servant of Krishna, then that misconception of our identity becomes corrected and we become situated in our spiritual identity of becoming a servant of Krishna. So in this way, a living entity becomes free from the bondage of his subtle body. Devotional service is the only way by which you can accomplish that. There are other processes. Some processes may be effective, especially the process of yoga may be effective, but it's an extremely difficult process. It's an extremely arduous process. To attain perfection of yoga is practically impossible. And the thing is, when one achieves this perfection through the Ashtanga yoga practice, then he becomes a devotee of Krishna. When one achieves the perfection of yoga, then he becomes a devotee of Krishna. So if after achieving the perfection of yoga, we are going to become a devotee of Krishna, then why not become a devotee of Krishna now? Why go through all these difficult processes? That actually has been pointed out by Ramanujacharya. The purpose of Ashtanga Yoga is, through the different processes of 8 different practices or stages of Ashtanga Yoga, one ultimately comes to a point of Samadhi. Samadhi is a stage when a Jivatma, a living entity, perceives the Paramatma in the heart. So when a Jivatma, a minute or insignificant atomic living entity, perceives the supreme super soul, he sees himself as an extremely minute individual, and here is the supreme personality of Godhead, the super soul, as the super soul. Then what is his natural reaction? The natural reaction is to surrender. When a small person comes across a great person, what is his natural reaction? In respect, his head bends down and he surrenders. And that surrender is called prapatti, according to the Ramanuja understanding, and sharanagati according to Gauriya Vaishnava understanding. It means the same thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used the expression sharanagati, and the Sri Vaishnavas used the expression prapatti, which means surrender. So in this way we can see, after achieving the yoga siddhi, one ultimately surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other ages, the process was actually gradual. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the process directly. In other ages, one had to gradually be elevated to that platform through Karmakanda, Gyanakanda. And yoga is actually the ultimate aspect of Gyanakanda. And then comes to the platform of Bhakti, Prapatti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the process directly. There is no need to go all those difficult and time-consuming stages. Direct, become a devotee of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us this very special process. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori Shapar Shado Shiyodham সহ অবতরী অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ প্রেম করিবারে দান শিখায় শরণাগতি ভকতের প্রাণ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু ভেরি মার্সিফুলি ইন অর্ডার টু বিস্টো হিজ মার্সি আপন দ্য লিভিং এন্টিটি জীবে দয়া করি ডিসেন্ডেড অ্যালং উইথ হিজ অ্যাসোসিয়েটস অ্যান্ড his abode. Sha Parshada Shiyo Dham. He descended with his Parshadas, associates, and along with his abode. Shiyo Dham. Shaho Abhotori Uttanto Durlapu Prem Koribare Dhan. In order to bestow a very rare love of Krishna, Krishna Prem. Uttanto Durlapu. Durlapu means extremely rare. প্রেম করিবারে দান শিখায় শরণাগতি ভকতের প্রাণ। হি ইজ টিচিং দ্য প্রসেস অফ শরণাগতি সারেন্ডার উইচ ইজ দ্য লাইফ অ্যান্ড সোল অফ ডিভোশনাল সার্ভিস। ডিভোশনাল সার্ভিস ইজ বেসড অন দিস সারেন্ডার। দ্য মোর উই সারেন্ডার দ্য মোর উই মেক অ্যাডভান্সমেন্ট ইন স্পিরিচুয়াল। The more we advance in our devotional service, the more surrendered we become. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave this process directly. And with some individuals, it was due to their previous piety, Sukriti, like for this Gajendra. He was a king in his previous life, and he was cursed by Agastya Muni. That since your intelligence became so blunt, better you become an elephant. So he became an elephant, but he was a devotee in his previous life. And this shows that the spiritual advancement that you make doesn't go in vain. It continues with us, life after life. Even though in an animal body, an elephant's body, he had it in a dormant stage. And at a certain point in time, it just came out. When he realized that, well, now I'm going to die. So then that awareness, that spiritual awareness, came into the forefront of his consciousness. And he realized the only person to take shelter of is Krishna. He is the only one who is actually our real shelter, and he is the only one who can save us in a real sense. Now, no one else, nothing else can actually give us the necessary protection that we need. And especially at the time of death. At that time, no one will be able to help us. All the money in the bank will not be able to help us. All our influences, all our stuff. All our position will not be able to help us. All our relatives won't be able to help us. All the big doctors in this world will not be able to help us. Nothing, no one will be able to help us at that time. The only person who can help us at that time is Krishna. And that's why at that time we have to take shelter of Krishna. And this life is actually preparation for that. Prepare ourselves to take shelter of Krishna at the time of death. And if we can take shelter of Krishna at the time of death, we made it. Our life becomes successful. As it has been pointed out. Like when Gajendra offered his prayers, then Krishna just came. He immediately came. on his vehicle or carrier, Garuda. From the spiritual sky, he came there, right there. And with his chakra, with his Sudarshan chakra, he just cut the head of the crocodile and rescued Gajendra. So, this is how wonderful Krishna is. And this is how wonderful it is when we take shelter of Krishna. He comes no matter wherever he is. Actually, he is everywhere. He is everywhere. So he can manifest himself practically from nowhere. He can manifest himself from nowhere and rescue us. There's so many such wonderful examples. Another wonderful example is Ajamila. He was an extremely sinful person. Ajamila was an extremely sinful person. And when the time came for him to leave his body, then Jamadutas came. And they were actually literally dragging his subtle body out of his gross body and take him to Jamalaya for punishment. But at that time, Ajamil, at least the Gajendra had a clear recollection of Krishna and his situation. Like here we can see, he had a perfect understanding of Krishna, but Ajamil didn't even have that. Gajendra, of course, was chanting the pure name. Ajamil chanted the Naam Abhash, the name of the Lord Narayan, in a clearing stage. And that also happened just quite accidentally. He didn't remember Narayan at that time. He remembered his own little son, who he was attached to. But his name just happened to be Narayan. And just as he called out Narayan, the Jamadutas just ran from there. Ran from there in the sense Vishnudutas came right there and told the Jamadutas that, look, leave him alone. The Jamadutas asked, why is that? Why do you have to leave him alone? Who are you interfering in our business? I mean, we are the representative of Jamraj, and we have been ordered by our Lord to take this sinful person to be duly punished for his sinful activities. And then the Vishnudutas explained to them that this person chanted the holy name of the Lord. And just because of that, he has become free from all his sinful reactions. So he doesn't have to go to Jamalaya anymore. So there is no need for you all to waste your time here with him. Go back. And they were surprised. These Jamadutas were extremely surprised. And they went and asked Jamaraj, what happened? This is what happened. Why it happened like that? And then Jamaraj explained the potency of the holy name of the Lord. The advantage of becoming a Vaishnava. And he instructed the Jamadutas, whenever you see tilak, neck bead, the body marked with the auspicious signs of Vaishnava tilak, to that person you just offer your obeisances from a distance and go back and come back. They are not your. That is not your jurisdiction. They are not in your custody anymore. They belong to a totally different realm, totally different world. So that is how wonderful this Vaishnava situation is. And this good fortune is created by the Vaishnavas. I mean, if we consider how we came to the situation of wearing tilak, wearing kantimala, chanting the holy name. This good fortune for us has been created by Srila Prabhupada. Had Srila Prabhupada not have come, what would have happened to us? At least most of us would have been the objects of Jamadutas due to the sinful lives that we are leading. And in the age of Kali, most of us are actually extremely sinful. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of sinful activities. Even unintentionally, unconsciously, we are forced to become sinful. We cannot really avoid committing sinful activities in this age. But then we came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada gave us the process on how to become sinless. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, all the sins will fly away. And protect yourself from further committing sinful activities by wearing the armor of the four regulative principles. Sin will not be able to touch you. So that is how the good fortune has been created by Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's representatives on this planet. Many of us may not have any association of Srila Prabhupada directly, but we have received this good fortune that Srila Prabhupada has created by the mercy of Prabhupada's representatives, the devotees of ISKCON. And if we practice the process properly, we'll become free from the material bondage and go back to Godhead. And even if we don't go back to Godhead, but if we follow the process, if we practice the process, then this material nature will be transformed into spiritual skin. We don't have to go back to separate, we don't have to separately make an endeavor to go back to Godhead. Wherever we are, that place will become spiritualized. Like when you become engaged in devotional service, are we in the material nature or in the spiritual nature? We are in the spiritual nature. So we don't have to separately make an endeavor to go back to the spiritual sky. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur Srila Prabhupada Ki. Does anybody have any question or comment?
As you explained, that we understand that mind is a material element, but you did explain that it does not get destroyed, it can be transformed. But material means not eternal, hence it should be destroyed.
Yeah. The thing is that what I meant is that we can get rid of the bondage of the gross body, but we cannot get rid of the bondage of the subtle body consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego. Like the gross body, the subtle body will not die. Right? The subtle body will remain. And along with the subtle body, many other things will remain. The karma will remain. With the subtle body, the influences of the modes of the material nature will remain. But what we can do is, through the process of devotional service, the mind will become transformed. What mind is, it will assume its spiritual context. Like put it this way, the medium through which our consciousness will flow. Now, when you become Krishna conscious, where is our consciousness going? Towards Krishna. Is it going into the material nature anymore? Therefore, mind becomes redundant. Right? Although mind is there, it's an element. It is one of the subtle elements. It is there, but we do not have, the mind doesn't have any influence on our consciousness anymore. Same with intelligence, same with false ego. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Prema Nidhe Hari.